Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the first edition of our female convict series we refer to as Boss Bitches. And I want to start this episode by saying that's not a derogatory term. That's what these ladies call themselves in prison. It is our female convict series. It's a companion series of our Bloody Angola podcast. We've picked four boss bitches, if you will, to discuss today.
Right, and y'all, the boss bitches are certainly not all going to be from Louisiana, right? And
all over. There's boss bitches everywhere in the country.
Boss bitches everywhere. I got one in my house.
I love it.
We always told you we'd give you something different. And these companion series, I love them. Jim's done excellent research.
As has it look, and we've also got to credit Leah Marie.
Leah Marie Caffrio.
Yeah. I always want to say Caffrio.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of spelled like that, but that's a good, strong Cajun deal.
And she helps us, too, with a lot of these.
She helps us a lot. Leah, we thank you so much. Yeah, I'm going to start out with probably the softest one, but probably one of the most successful boss bitches.
Yeah. So, if not, it has to be the most.
Right? That's still alive.
Yeah.
So she was the boss bitch of her game.
Well, she was.
So let's talk about it. And y'all have heard of this lady, Martha Stewart. Yeah. If you don't know, Martha Stewart started out as a fashion model. All right. And then she parlayed that into becoming a famous TV person and a lifestyle guru and home decorating and cooking. She did it all. She had it going on career-wise, right? But unfortunate for Martha, and she got convicted of insider trading, right?
And what is insider trading?
That's when you give tips on stocks or something that's going to happen that the general public doesn't have the advantage of having, and so you can make a lot of money off of it, whether it's selling or buying or whatever. So somebody told old Martha at one of her dinner parties, hey, guess what? Our hot GTX stock, we're about to take that shit
buy public. Amazon.
Buy Amazon. Yeah, right? So whatever it may be, Martha's a human being, and she wanted to make a little more money, and she did it. And she got busted. In 2004, she was convicted on charges specifically, y'all, relating to I'm Clone stock trading case. And at the end of 2001, I'm Clone stock dropped fast when an experimental drug they were using, y'all, failed to get the FDA approval.
Mm.
But Marth got told by Samuel Wascow, along with his family and friends, that the drug wouldn't get passed by the FDA.
Mm.
Right? So what do? Sell.
Yeah. Right? And that's a big deal. I mean, if it's Jim Chapman and he has two shares of stock in there, nobody's going to notice and nobody's going to care. But Martha Stewart had some cheese.
Right? And so cheddar. But if you got $1 million in, like, and he didn't just do it for Martha Stewart. He did it for his family members and some other executives. So they all sold, right? Well,
that's a problem.
The inspectors on the stock exchange were like, this shit doesn't look right. How do you know to get out 24 hours before we're coming out and saying that it's not approved, right? So she got that tip from her broker, Peter Bakunovic. I'm sure I butchered that name, that the price was about to drop, and she sold her stock for approximately $230,000 in I'm Clone shares just one day before the FDA announced her decision. Look, y'all, because she knew it was coming, she was able to avoid a loss of $45,000. And her involvement would have never been discovered if Bakunovic's assistant, Doug Fanuel, would not have told investigators.
Right. Running his mouth.
$45,000, y'all. It cost a whole lot more than that, including time, right? But she was charged with securities fraud, obstruction of justice, which means she lied to the cops, and conspiracy. She pled not guilty, and she said, hey, you know what? It was my advisor's job to tell me to sell the shares if the stock fell below $60. But Stewart maintained her innocence the whole time. Guess what? Guilty. And on July 16, 2004, she was sentenced to 5 months in prison, 5 months in confinement, which, I mean, 5 months in Martha Stewart's house. I guess she can bake all day. It's just not like that's hard prison time.
I go hang out five months in her house right now. Right. Never leave, probably.
Right. Can you cook me some of them biscuits?
Yeah.
And 2 years probation. So, I mean, that's, boss bitches can sometimes get to make decisions like that. Right?
Yeah.
But she went to prison. And when she was sentenced, she wanted to serve her time in either Connecticut or Florida so her elderly mom could visit. And her first choice was FCI Danbury, which is where Piper Kerman served her time before writing her book, Orange is the New Black, which everybody knows.
TV show.
Actually, I watched that shit.
Yeah.
Because of the prison aspect, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Interesting that she could choose her own prison.
Well, she didn't. I mean, you try to put that as part of your plea bargain, right? Mm-hmm. I don't really think you could, but maybe they cut her some slack.
Maybe Martha. When you're a boss bitch,
boss bitch might can do it, right? Or get away with it.
Yeah.
But, there were some concerns about Martha serving her time at Danbury could cause a media cluster fuck.
I can imagine.
But according to the judge, they also want to make an example out of Martha, so he sends her to serve her time at FPC Alderson in West Virginia. So, y'all, she served her whole 5 months there. But you might want to know, what was prison like for Martha, Jim?
I would be very interested to know.
All right. Stewart had a nickname. Now, I can't confirm this, but Stewart's nickname was rumored to be M. Diddy.
Hell yeah. M. Diddy.
Boss bitches get names like M. Diddy.
M. Diddy.
In 2017, that prison was a horrifying experience that no one should have to go through. No one should have to go through that kind of indignity, really, except murderers.
Yeah.
And there are a few other categories, she told Katie Couric during an interview. But no one should have to go through that. It's a very, very awful thing. Well, let me tell you why. Because Martha is now no stranger to visual body cavity searches, right? Can you imagine being on the top of your game, being a boss bitch? And what they do is, and I've done a million of them, not on a boss bitch, but I've done them on guys. And so they make you strip down. And if you're a guy, you have to open your mouth, lift your tongue. You have to bend your head forward, run your fingers through your hair, check behind your ears. Then you visually scan down their body, and you say, lift your sack, and they have to lift the sack, make sure they don't hide anything. You tell them, turn around, lift your left foot, lift your right foot, make sure there's nothing in the toes or whatever, then bend over and spread them. And so you're looking at anuses. So in M. Diddy's case, they would have been looking at...
It's a show in Dickie.
Well, I mean, all the guards there know what size her nipples are.
Man.
They know what, if she's a true blonde or not. We'll just leave it at that. And she found that personally offensive. But you know what?
It's prison life.
$45,000, M. Diddy.
Yeah.
So, but Katie Couric asked her if she learned anything or used her prison experience for any future good. And Stewart said, fuck no. She said that you can make lemons out of lemonade. What hurts you makes you stronger. Diddy said. None of those adages fit at all. It's a horrible experience. Nothing's good about it. Nothing at all.
And I can imagine, you know, someone of Martha Stewart's stature, you're talking close to a billionaire. She had a freaking empire. She was selling sheets and stuff on QVC by the truckload. This woman was balling. You hear me? Right. Balling. You know, one day being in a place where she had no control probably drove her nuts.
Yeah. Well, for $45,000.
For 45 G's, which is nothing to her.
$45,000, you learn about a visual body cavity search.
Yeah.
So you might want to know what happened. I shouldn't say old Martha, but you might want to know what happened to Martha and what she's doing since she got released from prison.
I know she hangs with some pretty popular G's.
She parlayed the fuck out of this with that $45,000. I guess she got it back 100 times. But she got released from prison, and she was 78 years old. But she went back and expanded her media empire and planned her comeback. She launched a new talk show. Host of the season of The Apprentice. Hey, he didn't like The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
You're all fired.
And she's released several more cookbooks. And guess who became one of her best friends?
I think I know.
Snoop Dogg.
D-O-double-G.
The only master brownie maker. Now, I'm sure he got a little shatter and green leaf in his shit.
Oh, yeah.
But Stewart is... Y'all, like I said, turned out a bunch of more cookbooks and tuned up with Snoop Dogg for Martha and Snoop's potluck dinner party.
Yes.
Bet those tickets more than $45,000. And although she was barred from acting as director for her company for 5 years, she continued to control 50% of the company's stock and 90% of its voting stock. In fact, during her time in the prison, the value of her stock doubled.
And she
had become a billionaire.
B, y'all.
With a B.
That's a baller.
Whole lot of zeros.
Oh, yeah.
And she, by 2006, she had become a billionaire again. Today, she refers to her stint in jail as nothing more than her horrible legal problem. There you go. Martha Stewart.
Stewart is a true boss bitch.
Respect for you, Martha.
I remember Woody when she first got sentenced, and I could not believe that she was actually going to do jail time. I mean, this is a woman who has, you know, you think you can buy your way out of anything if you got enough money. That's kind of proof you can.
Not on federal shit. There's newly land sentencing. Yeah. Well, you know what?
They like to use people as examples.
If it had been somebody else, I'm sure she had the best legal defense in the world because she was a billionaire with a B.
I bet months, her attorney got ripped for her doing any time. Yeah. What do you mean they're going to do for 5 months?
I'm sure they came back and say, hey, they'll come down to 5 months. Well, she might have been like, let's take that shit to trial. And they were like, you do that, you might get 5 years.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, she would have never had the name M. Diddy if she wouldn't have done jail time. M.
Diddy. And now Diddy? She's rolling with Snoop Dogg.
And rolling with Snoop Dogg.
Making brownies. Hey, so,
you want
to? I just want to say real quick, Martha, we don't, know you personally or whatever, but you are a boss bitch.
You definitely are. Now, the next up on our list today is Susan Atkins. And let me tell you all about Susan Atkins. Now, she was a convicted murderer and a member of Charles Manson's family. And for those of you that aren't old enough to know about this, Charles Manson.
Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter. He was a hippie that basically traveled throughout California, and he had this exotic personality, to say the least. And they, back in those days, these hippies hung out in communes, and he had a little commune in California, and he was an attractor of females for some reason. Now this dude looked like a squirrel or something. I mean, he was a little short guy,
crazy eyes,
and he was a, the definition of a master manipulator. So he was surrounded by females, and one of those females that we're going to talk about is Susan Atkins. She would pretty much do, along with several other females, whatever Charles Manson wanted her to do. And he was very slick in that the way Charles Manson would communicate, he would never tell you, go kill somebody. Right. He would say, he would put it in a way where it would not implicate him. Susan Atkins was one of those members. They had a murder in which an actress named Sharon Tate was killed.
She was also pregnant.
And this was huge headlines because of who she was. She was also married to a famous director.
Yeah. They killed them all, but it wasn't like they were down on Crackhead Boulevard. They broke into one of the biggest mansions and went in and slaughtered them.
And that was the Sharon Tate murder was one of several they committed throughout a couple of day time period. And because of the media storm, y'all, this wasn't like it was today. There wasn't cameras on every street corner. They didn't have pictures. One of the famous things that they did in this particular house was they wrote the word pig on the wall in blood.
Their victim's blood, not their own.
Yeah, correct. So they ended up getting charged with this murder, his family, and it was never proven that Charles Manson actually took place in the murders, but it was definitely proven that he facilitated it. He did some major manipulation to get these girls to do what they did.
Actually, they called the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was unique about this case was that it was a bunch of females, and this was a pregnant woman. You would not, obviously, you would think females would be cognizant of that and very, they wouldn't go kill them with butcher knives and things like that.
It was really bad.
Unheard
of for that time.
Totally unheard of. So she was one of five people actually convicted for that murder of Sharon Tate, and as well as some other murders. Now, she was in prison for nearly 40 years, and never once, this is the interesting thing about Susan Atkins, she never once spoke negatively of Charles Manson, nor did any of the other ladies that were convicted. That's how much power he had over these women. And you can go back, y'all. You find this interesting. I know I do. You can go to YouTube, and Charles Manson did many interviews over the years. He was an absolute nut job. And
also had a swastika tattooed in his forehead.
Yeah, he sure did. And he is probably one of the craziest characters in history that didn't hide from it. And in these interviews, he makes claims like he's Jesus Christ and that he's all this love, peace, love, and everybody's out to get me. And it is a huge example of just total manipulation.
Yeah, you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm thinking, and I, back on this, our good old friend, Geraldo Herrera. Yeah. Interviewed him in the prison.
Oh, that was classic.
Basically what you get out of the whole thing when Harald is trying to ask hard questions, and Charles Manson looks at him with those piercing blue eyes and says something to the effect of, I can reach out from here today and have anyone I want to taken care of. He didn't say kill, but
we knew what he meant. Right. And so did Geraldo. Or you're threatening me. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of, now whether he had that power, I don't know. I know he thought more of himself than anybody else thought of him. Except for Susan Atkins. And he definitely had some sort of thing about him that made people follow him all the way up until his death. One of the most written to individuals ever in prison was Charles Manson. And Atkins is a prime example of someone who kind of never believed he was anything other than Jesus Christ, pretty much in her eyes.
For real.
She spent nearly 40 years in prison and went up for parole, y'all, 18 times and got denied.
Yeah.
That's not surprising considering the horrific nature of the murders she committed. But I would be curious to know if it was not such a high-profile inmate, if one of those 18 times she would have got out.
Nobody on that parole wanted to be the parole board member who paroled her.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, they killed viciously, and including a baby.
And look, let me tell y'all, if you Google Susan Atkins when she was young, she was absolutely beautiful. These were not ladies that were anything other than just gorgeous. You would never think these women follow this little flea that is Charles Manson, who had not a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out.
Right.
So she eventually passed away in prison in 2009. She was 61 years old, y'all, and she had brain cancer. But her death, keep in mind, unlike Sharon Tate's, was peaceful.
Yeah, right.
You know, she had cancer. At some point, they gave her something for the pain, and she went to sleep. She was brought to hearings a lot of times when she got really bad off with the brain cancer on a gurney, and witnesses said she slept through most of it. Now, you want to know her last words? Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I did.
So her last words before she died was, amen.
Found some Jesus, because if not, the hell's a fire. The fires of hell burned a little bit brighter when she passed.
Yeah,
and I can promise you, when Charles Manson died, and he's dead now too, the fires of hell burned a little bit
brighter. Oh, God, did they ever. But anyway, Susan Atkins, definitely a boss bitch. Definitely
a boss bitch. Hey, head of that game for sure. Wow, that's crazy. Good story. All right, so I'm going to tell you about another one, and this one is long and distinguished, okay? Aline Wuornos. Yeah, and you may have heard of her, you may not have, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about Aline growing up and how she came to be a boss bitch. She was no stranger to the law, right? And she was always in trouble. She got arrested so many times for so many different things, everything from attempting to pass forged checks at a bank in Key West, and then she was arrested in Miami, charged with car theft and resisting arrest and obstruction of justice for providing an ID with her aunt's name on it, not her own. It just goes, the list goes on and on. She's accused of pulling a gun on another guy and demanding $200. That's just part of her criminal past. But in 1986, the 30-year-old Wuornos met a lady named Tyria Moore, who was a hotel maid, Jim, at a Daytona Beach gay bar called the Zodiac, right? So they strike up a relationship, they hook up, they move in together, and Wuornos supported them. Can you guess how?
She prostitution.
Right, because she wasn't working for Burger King, right? So Wuornos,
she wasn't stocking shit,
supported them with her earnings as a prostitute, right? And on July 4th, 1987, Daytona Beach police detained Wuornos and Moore at a bar for questioning regarding an incident in which they were accused of assault and battery with a beer bottle, continuing that
career,
leading up to being a boss bitch. then on March 12th, 1988, Warnos accused a Daytona Beach bus driver of assault. And she claimed that he pushed her off the bus following an argument they had. Warnos continues to go on, y'all, and she did all kinds of shit. But the one thing that makes her a boss bitch, but not in a great way, is how she progressed her criminal career. And at some point, Warnos decided, I'm not going to do assault anymore. She was prostituting and would pick up men, and at some point, she began to kill them.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Okay, now it's very rare to have not only a female killer, but Warnos would become probably America's most notorious female serial killer. Now, a serial killer, y'all, is someone who kills one or more people separate of each other, not like a mass shooting or something, but one or more people separate of each other for different reasons. She killed 7 men in a period of 12 months, and all the men were driving down the interstate in between the ages of 40 and 65. Well, she's walking down the interstate. She's prostituting. They pull over and pick her up. Well, it gets a little strange before they go home to mama. I don't know. But she alleged, at least in the beginning, that these men tried to rape her. This was her defense. But the first one was Richard Charles Mallory. He was 51 years old and an electronic stores owner in Clearwater, Florida, y'all, at the date of the murder. And Morris claimed that Mallory beat, raped, and sodomized her after he drove her to an abandoned area for sexual services. So maybe there was some truth to this, Jim, because it became known later on that Mallory had previously been convicted for attempted rape in Maryland.
And you know, it's important to note that I don't doubt that. Right. Look, she was in a high-risk lifestyle, yep. And you kind of – that's part of that lifestyle, not that it excuses it, but you know that risk going in, that there's a possible risk there with getting raped by John, I guess, in this case.
Right. Might not be a happy
but answer. I had heard that, but now she's got a taste for it.
Well, in a couple of days later, a Volusia County deputy found Mallory's abandoned vehicle, but it was after that, y'all, that they found his body several miles away in a wooded area. He had been shot several times, and 2 bullets to the left lung were found to have been cause of death. But I'm going to list the rest of these victims. David Andrew Spears, he was 47 and a construction worker. He went missing on May 19th, 1990. And on June 1, 1990, his naked body was found along U.S. Route 19 in Florida. He had been shot 6 times by 22.
Killed him good.
Why he wasn't shot 7? Because it was a revolver, and it only had 6 rounds. Then you go to, killed him good, Mike Hargavino. Killed him good and thorough.
Yeah. Right?
Then there's Charles Edmund Karskadon, who is 40 years old and a part-time rodeo worker. He was murdered on May 31st, 1990, and on June 6th, 1999, his body was found. He had been shot 9 times with a .22 caliber weapon, and the body had been wrapped in an electric blanket and was badly decomposed. And when found, you can imagine in the heat in Florida, wrapped in an electric blanket, not like the blanket was plugged in, y'all.
Yeah.
But just being wrapped in a blanket would accelerate the decom process. But witnesses had seen Mornos in possession of Karskadon's car, and Mornos had also pawned a gun that belonged to the victim. All right. So next one, Peter Abram Seams, who is age 65, was a retired merchant seaman. June 1990, he went missing. And on July 4th, 1990, his car was found. And Moore and Warnos were seen abandoning the car. Now, remember, Moore is Warnos' gay lover. They were seen abandoning the car, and Warnos' palm print was found on the interior door handle. His body was never found.
Never found.
That's crazy. All right, so Troy Eugene Burris, get this, age 50, was a sausage salesman. All right, I'm going to leave that one alone. On July 31st, 1990, he was reported missing, and then they found him on August 4th, 1990. His body was found in a wooded area, and he had been shot twice. And last but not least, Charles Richard Dick Humphreys, age 56, who is a U.S. Air Force major, former state child abuse investigator, and former chief of police. Evidently, he picked her up. And she killed him.
Chief of police.
Right? And she killed him on September 11th, 1990. And on September 12th, they found his body. He was fully clothed and had been shot 7 times in the head and torso. His car was also later found. I'm sorry, y'all. One more. Walter Gino Antonio, age 62, a trucker, a security guard, and this is another theme, a reserve police officer.
She likes and, the cops.
Yeah, I know. On November 19, 1999.
They like her.
Right? 1990, his nearly naked body was found near a remote logging road. He had been shot 4 times. Then five days later, his car was found. All right, y'all. So I'm going to sum it up for you. The Warnos got busted. They busted it at a bar called The Last Resort, which was
isn't that kinda, ironic?
Yeah, the last
as Alanis Morissette would say.
Isn't that ironic, right? Yeah. So when they found y'all, on July 4th, 1990, Warnos and Moore had abandoned Sims' car. Rhonda Bailey, who witnessed the accident, provided police with a description of the two women, and police put it out in the news and stuff like they do. And they had also found, like I told you earlier, some of the victim's belongings in pawn shops. And one of those fingerprints that were found on a receipt at one of the pawn shops matched the print that was left in Sims' car. Warnos had a criminal record in Florida and samples for prints from the database. But we get that. So long story short, they arrested her for an outstanding warrant at a biker bar, the Last Resort biker bar. And they located Moore the next day. And Moore, can't call Warnos a boss bitch because she had Moore, was her girl, right?
Yeah.
That but was the girl. Cops talked Moore into getting a conversation, recording it out of Warnos. Mm-hmm. And under police guidance.
Sounds like a Woody Everton tactic, right? To
yeah,
me.
I definitely would have done it. Under police guidance, she called Warnos a bunch of times, y'all, pleading for her help to clear her name because that she knew they were looking at these murders. So 3 days later, on January 16th, 1991, Warnos confessed to the murders. She claimed the men, of course, to try to rape her, and she killed him in self-defense. Well, that really didn't fly. And she went on trial for the murder of at least one of them. Prosecution was allowed to introduce evidence related to her other crimes to show a pattern of illegal activity. But Warnos got convicted, and she was put on death row. And you know what? In the weeks before execution, Warnos gave a series of interviews and talked about being taken away to meet God and Jesus and angels and whatever is beyond the beyond. In her final interview, she said she changed her mind again and said that she was being tortured and her head was being crushed by sonic pressure. She was trying to appear insane. What the fuck, right? She turned to one of the reporters taking the interview and said, "You sabotaged my ass. Society and the cops and the system. A rape woman got executed and was used for books and movies and shit." That's what the boss bitch said. Her final words.
I got to hear this.
All right. Her final words on camera were, "Thanks a lot, society, for railroading my ass." Warnos' execution was by lethal injection on October 9th, 2002. She declined her last meal. Go back and check out Bloody Angola's last meals. So, which could have been anything under $20. It used to be $40 back in the day. And opted for a cup of coffee instead. Her last words were, I bet you can't get this, "Yes, I would like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus." Right? Boss bitch. She was only the second woman in Florida and the 10th in the United States of America to be executed since they restored the death penalty in 1976.
Let's talk about this for a second. Yeah. Because I got some comments. So, first of all, y'all, and Woody has already said this, is female serial killers are ultra rare.
Very, very rare.
Very rare. And for a guy like me who is absolutely, that is my crime. That's what I dig into is the mind of serial killers. It's absolutely intriguing to me. When I heard about this case initially, I'm like, holy shit. First of all, this is a female serial killer. I need to learn all about her and what caused her to do this. And I was just engrossed in that. And they've made, several movies on this.
What's the name? Netflix. An Academy Award for it. Charlene Theron.
Yes, yeah. Theron. Charlene Theron, who is,
false pictures.
Unbelievably beautiful. And I'm like, and look, Eileen was not an attractive woman.
And so, Charlene had to gain all kinds of weight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way she can make her look like she really did. She did an Academy Award winning performance. Right. So we got one more for you. And this one is upsetting. This girl's just absolutely awful. Her name is Brenda Spencer. And Brenda Spencer, if her name don't ring a bell, after I'm done telling you this story, it's going to ring a bell from now on. Now, she was a incarcerated murderer who in 1979 committed a school shooting.
Oh, shit. Boy, that shit was Columbine or anything.
Right. It was a ultra rare event. Thank God to this day, they're not common. And although they do take place, back then it was even less common. But in 1979, she killed a principal and a custodian and 8 children and injured an officer.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Now, here is the interesting thing. She was 16 years old during this incident. She lived in a house across the street from the school that the shooting was committed. And eventually was convicted of that shooting. Now, I'm going to tell you about the shooting itself. On the Monday, on the morning of Monday, January 29th, 1979, Spencer began shooting from her house, which she lived across the street, at children, and was waiting on the principal of that school to open the gates. The principal was basically in the front office having his last cup of coffee with a 6th grade teacher, and they heard what they described as firecrackers going off outside. Pop, pop, pop.
That's crazy.
Is how he described it in court.
You don't expect it to be gunfire, right?
Right.
Especially in the 70s.
So what does he do? He thinks the kid's setting off firecrackers. He runs out the front door, and the 6th grade teacher runs out the side door to investigate that. Basically, as soon as he runs out, he falls backwards in some bushes. He can't figure out why. He looks down and he's been shot. sees blood.
Yeah.
So
shock factor.
Yeah, shock factor. He basically got back up and he grabbed some kids that were around him, kind of herding them together, brought them in his office.
Hero.
And shouted to the secretary, call the police. You know, someone's shooting out there. He rushed back outside after that, tried to get some more children. And then he sees one that had been shot and fell on the ground. And he hears more shots ringing out.
Right.
Pop, pop, pop. Now, this is not an automatic weapon.
Right.
This is a 16-year-old kid shooting with a weapon she is having to reload. Now, children are panicking. You see custodians running everywhere, other teachers. And so he starts to scream out, somebody shooting, everybody get down, the ones that didn't know. And basically gets shot again.
Man.
So this kid is just unloading, 16-year-old kid, a female at that.
Unloading.
That's the first time I've ever heard of a female being involved in a school shooting.
Shit, I think it's the first school shooting I ever heard of. But not only is she unloading, she's reloading.
Unloading, reloading. And when it was all over, she had fired 36 shots.
That's a lot. Six times. She had to reload six times.
Yeah, and a 16-year-old, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So after the killings, you know, the police interviewed her. She showed very little remorse and basically tried to place the blame on drugs and her life circumstances. She didn't have the greatest life, and she, like all people do that commit heinous crimes like this, the first thing they want to do is blame everybody else.
Right.
Instead of just taking responsibility.
A lot of people have horrible lives that don't do school shootings.
That's right. So she eventually was tried as an adult and pled guilty to two counts of murder and assault with a deadly weapon. She murdered more than that, but that's all they were.
Pled it down.
Yeah. So she was sentenced to 25 to life. And in prison, she was diagnosed as an epileptic.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sorry. So she gets medication in prison for epilepsy and depression, which she suffers under. Now, in 1993, she became eligible for parole, and she's unsuccessfully gotten parole after four board hearings.
Yeah,
I would today.
Say. And nobody wants to let that child killer and adult killer and everything else out.
Right. And so even at her first parole board hearing, she did it again. She tried to blame drugs and alcohol on the reason that she did this.
Everybody but me.
Yeah.
Drugs and alcohol didn't pull the trigger.
That's right.
36 times.
She said her father beat and sexually abused her. And it was all these reasons that she killed eight kids and had absolutely nothing to do with that.
I mean, she shot her father 36 times.
100%. So just an absolutely disgusting case of, I don't even want to call her a boss bitch. She's just a bitch.
She's a bitch.
Yeah. Just a horrible human being.
With a bitch.
Period.
She's still locked down, right?
She's still locked down. As of August of 2022, she's still behind bars. And she still is today. She ain't. She's still 25 there.
25 years of life, y'all. That just means after 25, she's eligible for parole.
Doesn't mean she gets
it. Get it.
Yeah.
You don't kill like that and get parole.
Bingo. Right. School shoot. Let me tell you, if you're a school shooter and you kill people, you, and deservedly so, will never get out of prison in all likelihood.
You should be, that's just like the family.
It's disgusting.
And yeah, I'm thankful that this chick didn't have social media and all the news coverage that we have today, because otherwise Columbine probably would have got done it a lot sooner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whichever one started first. It seems all these other assholes are just copycat wannabes. And I totally agree with the fact that they quit saying their names after the first initial arrest interview. They'll just say the shooter.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to give any kind of credence to these assholes.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
Anyway.
So that was her story. May not have heard about her, but you've heard now.
You heard now.
And so that's all we're going to give you today on the Boss Bitches. Now, some of these episodes in this companion series will be single episodes where it may be one particular female convict that we're covering, because we want to cover the whole history. It's really interesting. And then some of them we might talk about four or five.
Right. Hey, one thing it's going to be is different every time.
That's right. And one thing with Bloody Angola that we really like about these companion series is it doesn't limit us to just Angola, right, which has tons of history and is its own show. But, you know, there's female convicts out there that got some pretty crazy stories, too.
All related to prisons, ultimately, and prisoners. This blows me away.
I love it. Blows me away too. I enjoyed this episode.
I did too. We hope y'all enjoyed it. Patreon members, we love you. We thank you for your support. We love all our listeners, no doubt about that. Our numbers are great. Fire. Thank you so much, Patreon. You're subscribing, and we hope you're enjoying your benefits.
Yeah, we do. We really appreciate all you patron members. And something to keep in mind, these companion episodes that we do, you can also get those commercial free if you are a tie down. I believe it's tie down or above. Right. You can go to Patreon and it'll show you the benefits. Just look for the tier that says companion episodes included.
And that will really come
in. And those are commercial.
That will really come into play when we get some fucking commercials.
Yeah. Well, we have some. We're just not voicing them ourselves. Yeah, yeah. So you get all the commercial free where you don't hear all those automatic commercials that you may hear in the. Yeah, it's very good, actually. Mike, you hear that?
Again, if you can't be with one, we understand it. We thank you anyway for liking and sharing. Please leave us a review. It helps on the Apple, iTunes, chart,
all that stuff,
algorithms. I don't know anything about it. And we appreciate y'all so much.
Talk about the live crew bash.
Hey, you know what? Fourth annual crew bash, Real Life, Real Crime crew bash is February 3rd and 4th, downtown Baton Rouge. The Friday night is the VIP event. If you just wanted to get a VIP event, there is a ticket on Eventbrite just for that. If you want to purchase the VIP package, which is for Friday night and Saturday night, but Friday night, it's going to be exclusive. It's a small amount of people. We're going to hold some live auction raffles for LOPA, and we're going to get turnt, and I'm going to sign pictures and take autographs, and then we're going to drink together, right? And
don't forget your liver.
We're going to do it. Yeah. Right. But I'm going to go ahead and lay it out on Boss Bitch's first episode. First, every VIP member that comes Friday night first drinks on me.
Boo!
On Real Life, Real Crime. Now, that being said, Saturday night, the VIP package also will get you in Saturday night an hour before everybody else. So you can get close to the stage or tables, wherever you want to sit or what have you. And then, but if you just want to come Saturday night, that's fine too. It's going to be at the Basin, downtown Baton Rouge, and the doors open around 7. I think they'll open at 7 for everybody, for the regular ticket purchasers. And I'm going to take the stage and do Sex, Drugs, and Murder, a crowd interactive podcast, drinking podcast. Y'all know this is adults only. It's going to be raunchy and nasty, but it's, you know, it's going to be entertaining. Then when I get done, the world famous Chase Tyler Band, two-time Louisiana music hall of fame, that's right, hall of fame inductee, is going to rock the house like he has every year, and it's going to be fire. And so, but we're raffling off a bunch of prizes again for Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. Please go get your tickets. $30,000 to $50,000 worth of prizes, including Jim Chapman and local leaders of podcasts have donated, commercials and stuff. Go back and listen. Tons of awesome stuff.
Yeah, you got everything from haircuts to hunting trips,
barbershop shop, McLaur Whitetail Adventures. We got fishing some firearms from Rich, and fishing trips from Captain DeBall. And I can't list them all, but we dropped an episode on that. Go get your tickets, please. It's the proceeds go to LOPA. It saves lives. They're a nonprofit, and it's $15 for one ticket, or you can get a book of 10 for $100. And we hope to see y'all there.
And you're doing, you're, look, whether you win or not win, the point there is you're doing some good for a beautiful organization.
Use it as a tax write-off. Combine $1 million worth. And
we got any $1 million donated. Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart.
Well, boss bitches. Hey, yeah. I'm sorry I said that about nipples, Martha. Hey, you know what? That is a very real deal. She had to be visual body cavity surgeon.
I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody Angola.
Boss bitches.
We'll see you next time. Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.